You're listening to Inside Israel Today with Gil Hoffman on the Land of Israel Network.
Hello and welcome to Inside Israel Today here on the Land of Israel Network on thelandofisrael.com. Today is a sad day here in Israel because there was a terrible terrorist attack this morning. A terrorist went to the community of Har Adar and opened fire and stabbed the security people who were at the checkpoint in the entrance to the community. It was an especially heinous attack because this terrorist had been working in the community for years. He used to work for the municipality. He now works for a family who he was building in their home. The family said that he had been a member of their family after seeing him for so long. He had regularly been going into their house and playing with their children, and they had no idea that one day, all of a sudden, he would decide to open fire and stab people just for the crime of being Israeli security forces. The security forces noticed that he had a gun and stopped him, and then he opened fire and started stabbing. And the three Israelis, two security guards, and a border policeman have been murdered at the time of this taping. Another person is fighting for his or her life. And this was especially odd for a terrorist attack because it happened in Har Adar. Har Adar does not see itself as a settlement, though it is a few steps over the pre-1967 border. It's not like other settlements that are populated either by religious Zionists or by ultra-Orthodox. It is a settlement that is for the most part popularized by left-wing people who wanted to live in the suburbs of Jerusalem. A lot of people there vote for Labor, the Zionist Union, for Meretz, for parties on the left end of the political map. And it's a very secular community for the most part. And I've been going there for years, so it hit me personally. I have a first cousin who's lived there for a very long time with her family. My wife's former boss lived there, and we would go to her house over there. And these people are as far away from being extremists or being the classical settler image as you could find. And so this proves that it can happen there too. That even in a place like Har Adar, they can be struck by terror. It doesn't happen in ideological settlements only like it used to, or in places that have a lot of symbolic value like Jerusalem. Har Adar is a very beautiful community that was named for the radar station there. It was initially Har Radar, the mountain of radar. Now it's Har Adar, which is the mountain, I guess, of spring or the month of Adar that begins the spring. It's the last place you'd expect there to be a terrorist attack. Though there have been other places around Israel that are also the last place you would expect to see a terrorist attack lately. There was a terrorist attack in Or Yehuda, in a development town that's, not on the map internationally. But right now, it can really, really happen anywhere. It can happen anywhere in Israel. It can happen anywhere around the world. And it struck me this morning while I was saying my Slichot prayers. Slichot are beautiful prayers in which we say, I'm sorry to God, that we say around the time between ahead of Rosh Hashanah and then between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Sephardim starts saying it a month before Rosh Hashanah, often in the middle of the night, which is very impressive. Ashkenazim from the European countries start saying it the weekend before Rosh Hashanah. Also, a lot of us say it late at night. I personally don't. it's perfectly fine to say these slichot prayers at more reasonable times, like 10 o'clock at night, not 1 o'clock at night, but or 9:30 in the morning, not 5 in the morning. And so that's when I say them. And so this morning, in my prayer service, at the bright early hour of 8:45, I was really, really moved by a couple lines that are part of the service. It says, "Tzakatenu hayom tekabel, v'tatzilenu midei mechabel." Our scream will be accepted today, and we will be saved from the hands of a terrorist. Wow. It's right there, here in this prayer, that we say on the third day of the 10 days of repentance between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. We've been saying it every year on that day. Unfortunately, this is not the only year when it's been applicable and newsworthy. Unfortunately, it happens way too much, but what a powerful prayer. We ask God that our scream be accepted by Him, and He save us from the hands of the terrorists. You got to have faith that God is there, and hears our scream, that we have to scream. These terrorist attacks are out of control. We scream for Him to stop it. We scream for Him to save us. We scream for Him to save the Jewish people and other good people around the world. We will continue screaming. And we see how these terrorist attacks really bring people together. It's been happening in Israel for years. Everybody remembers the victims of the highest profile terrorist attacks. We can't forget them. We don't worship them, but we remember them, and we want their memory to be for a blessing. We don't want the world to forget either. Just like people don't forget September 11th in the United States, people in France don't forget the Bataclan of terrorist attack and the Bastille Day terrorist attack. We have to remember them. We have to remember the victims who died for just the desire of terrorists to murder. It's absolutely horrible, and it has to be stopped everywhere around the world. And so America came together on September 11th. France came together with their terrorist attacks. Other terrorist attacks around the world have united people, and it's happened here all too often. And in Israel, we also get united when it comes to Jewish holidays. It's beautiful to see on Yom Kippur the way the streets are absolutely empty of cars and people go to the street and just hang out and talk. Yom Kippur has become a beautiful holiday of togetherness, not just of asking for repentance and atonement. We see that beautiful unity of everyone together with the secular, also going to the streets, also not driving, also for the most part not eating, respecting our traditions. I went to an event last night that brought a lot of people together. More than 2,000 people came together to a political event organized by the mayor of Jerusalem near Barkat at the Jerusalem International Convention Center. And it was a political rally where the star of the show was Miri Regev. Miri Regev is a mostly divisive figure in the speech before her address to the crowd. The Sephardi chief rabbi spoke. And the Sephardi chief rabbi Shlomo Amar praised Miri Regev, called her modest, which she's really not. Miri Regev is a woman who is one of the most hypocritical politicians that Israel has. She was my commander in the spokesman's unit of the army. She was the IDF spokeswoman when Israel withdrew from the Gaza Strip, spoke very positively about withdrawing from the Gaza Strip, and then when she entered politics, became a right-wing politician. Not talking about the Jews she evacuated from Gaza, talking about keeping as much of the land as possible. That hypocrisy still gives me a bad taste. But the rest of what the Sephardi chief rabbi said was a lot more spiritual and a lot less political. He led this crowd of 2,000 to 3,000 people in the ultimate Jewish prayer, Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, in a proclaiming that the Lord is our God, Adonai, Hu Elohim. He got everybody to say it. And then they blew the shofar. Look, I've been covering political events for almost 20 years. I don't remember there being a shofar blown at a political event before. It was a really, really powerful event, and it was beautiful to see the Jewish people there praying all together. And we see that at the Western Wall, these prayers that there are in the Slichot. And we're going to see it on Yom Kippur all over the country. And I love seeing Israel united. I love it that Israel is more united than it's been in a very long time. We're not divided over politics the way we have been in the past as much. I remember being here in the year 95, 96, between high school and college, and seeing the tension in the streets over Yitzhak Rabin's plan to withdraw from territories as part of the Oslo process. And we saw how that made people hate each other. The right, who were against that plan, the left, who were in favor of it. Yitzhak Rabin was assassinated, and after that, the tension continued to be palpable for a very long time. Now the people of Israel are less divided politically, I believe, than they've been in a very long time. The political platforms of Netanyahu in the center-right and Avi Gabay and Yair Lapid in the center-left are quite similar. They're all in favor of talking to the Palestinians, having a regional and an economic approach to solving the conflict. While Israel, I think, is more united than it has been in a very long time, who's more divided than ever? The answer is, of course, America. We've seen this week with the controversial tweets of the President of the United States criticizing the football players, disinviting the basketball players from the White House, how divided America could be. I'm a big sports fan. I couldn't care less whether in the national anthem they stand up, they sit down, they kneel, they dance, or they, as the Chicago Bears, my team, did in their football game this past week, just joined hands together, locked arms in a real beautiful kind of way, or the Pittsburgh Steelers did what they did and just didn't come out for the national anthem and decided to have it together in the locker room, not in front of everyone, and then do whatever they want to do without people seeing what they're doing politically. Those are all different approaches, and I respect whatever different approaches people had. I just want to watch the game. I just want to see my Chicago sports teams do well or decide purposely not to do well and get better draft picks later on and then do better later on. That's also okay. But for me, it's just been painful to see how divided America has become. The people in the red states and the blue states don't like each other. Even among the Republicans, the people who like the President of the United States and the people who are embarrassed by the President of the United States don't like each other either. I go to America 3-4 times a year on speaking tours. Going to be coming up next month in a speaking tour that's going to take me to Chicago, take me to Philadelphia, take me to New York and New Jersey, take me to Florida, take me to Seattle, take me to Hawaii, a wonderful state. And I see these red states and these blue states about how different people are, how much they dislike each other. And it's just been really, really painful for me to see. I want America to be more united again. Holidays bring people together. I want to see people come together for good things like holidays and not terrible things like terrorist attacks. I hope and pray that there will be better days ahead for the people of America. There will be more unity ahead for the people of America for the right reasons. And that there will be better days ahead for the people of Har Adar and the people of the rest of Judea and Samaria and Israel, all of Israel, and Jews and other good people who love Israel around the world. I hope that this will be a good year that we've just started, 5778, for Israel and for the world. We're going to be speaking after the break about a tradition that I hold dear that we do between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Stay with us here on Inside Israel Today on the Land of Israel Network on thelandofisrael.com.
You're listening to Inside Israel Today with Gil Hoffman on the Land of Israel Network.
And we're back here on Inside Israel Today on the Land of Israel Network here on thelandofisrael.com. In the first part of the show, I spoke about the horrible terrorist attack in the community of Har Adar and about how terrorism and holidays bring people together. In this part of the show, I'm going to talk about how holidays sometimes make people fight. It happens. Holidays bring family together. Family often fight. We just had a three-day holiday here of Rosh Hashanah followed by Shabbat. I know they have that a lot in America. Here, where holidays are one day rather than two, except on Rosh Hashanah, that happens a lot less often. And so I'm sure there were plenty of fights over the dinner and lunch table in families throughout Israel last weekend. There are plenty of disagreements within Judaism about how people pray, about whether people should pray together or whether people should be praying separate, about what words they say when they pray, about how Zionist their prayers should be. There are plenty of prayers that are different among the different religious streams, more inclusive of women in the non-Orthodox streams. Within the ultra-Orthodox and the modern Orthodox, there are differences, and among the ultra-Orthodox themselves, there are plenty of differences. And there are holidays that lend to people fighting each other, and then there are traditions that divide people. One of those traditions that has divided people for a long time is a tradition called kaparot. Kaparot, with a little bit of a better accent. Kaparot involves swinging a chicken above your head and transferring your sins to that chicken, which is then ritually slaughtered and then given to poor people to eat. And this is a tradition that is done ahead of the Yom Kippur holiday and has been done for centuries. For centuries, people, Jews around the world, have been doing this. In the past, it was done with different animals, though it was decided that a chicken would be most appropriate for it. It's supposed to be a spiritual thing where the penitent lays his hands above the chicken, proclaims his guilt, and declares that the bird is to be killed in his stead. And there have been people for centuries who have complained and said that this should not be done, that it is a medieval, mystical kind of tradition that really has no basis, that really does not look nice, that the bird is mistreated, they're kept in cages, they are not given proper water and everything. And there are people who've been saying it's archaic and needs to be stopped. And those people have basically won out. It's very hard to find places in Israel where this tradition is still done, when even several years ago, I would say, it was very easy to find kaparot. Now you really, really have to look for it. The agriculture ministry goes and has inspectors give fines to people for doing it, and enough very serious rabbis from Rabbi Yosef Cairo, the author of the Shulchan Aruch, to Maimonides, they've said that this should not be done. However, the 16th century Ashkenazi contemporary of Rabbi Yosef Cairo, or the Rama, contended that it is legitimate to do it. And the Ari, Rabbi Isaac Luria, said it was okay and it had a redemptive value as long as the chicken was donated to charity. And look, there are plenty of people who are absolutely disgusted by this practice. I'm sure that Rabbi Jeremy Gimpel who is a vegetarian or a vegan, I'm not sure which these days, can do a very nice show about why people should never do kaparot. I'm here instead to make the case for kaparot. I think kaparot is a very beautiful practice, a very beautiful tradition. I've been doing it for as long as I can remember. I've made sure to do it for my children as well. I was just looking at pictures of doing kaparot over the heads of my children when they were babies. Even I had a son who was born 8 days before Rosh Hashanah 9 years ago and had his bris on Rosh Hashanah. And shortly after that, we took a two-week-old baby and we flung the chicken over his head. Now, obviously, he hasn't sinned yet, but we still saw it as a beautiful thing that we were very thankful for this boy being born and that we wanted to involve him in this tradition. So I can tell you I will still be doing kaparot. I find it to be a very spiritual, wonderful experience to take a chicken and involve that chicken in this holy practice. I fling the chicken over my head and I give the chicken my sins. And then I make sure that that chicken is indeed being given to a poor family. I also like the tradition of tashlich, where one goes to a body of water that has fish in it, and people empty their pockets. And they say prayers about wanting there to be prosperity for them and their families in the year ahead. Our tradition is to have breadcrumbs in those pockets and give those breadcrumbs to the fish. Now, if you go to a place like the Botanical Gardens in Jerusalem or to the pond that's in front of the Knesset, then there will be not only fish there, but birds who often swoop in and take the bread away from the fish. And so I find myself spiritually much more ready for Yom Kippur when I have done both of these traditions, when I have fed my sins to a bird, to a fish, to a chicken. Some people feel spiritually cleansed by bathing in a ritual bath, in a mikvah. Some people feel spiritual cleansed from prayers. Some people feel spiritually cleansed from music. I know that Rabbi Gimpel has a sing-along session coming up before Yom Kippur, and that's great, and more power to them. I'm not going to put down the way they get spiritually cleansed. I hope they don't put down the way I get spiritually cleansed, and not only from prayers, but from these practices, these traditions that have been going on for centuries, connecting myself to the Jewish people from all those centuries. They flung chickens over their heads and might have felt a little weird about it. I fling a chicken over my head and over the heads of my children, and I will continue to find it cleansing and spiritually uplifting, and I will encourage people to continue this tradition. Keep it going. Keep it, despite everything people say about it, make sure that the animal is treated as well as possible, but keep on the tradition as Jews have been doing for centuries. And I hope that it makes you feel cleansed and more ready for Yom Kippur. And we should have a Yom Kippur in which we will feel closeness to God and in which we are truly being atoned and forgiven for all the sins that we've done in the past year. And my listeners should all be healed and inscribed and sealed in the Book of Life. I'm sorry if I have harmed you in any way in the few shows that I've done since we came back on the air. Please forgive me if I have. And meanwhile, may you have a wonderful, spiritually uplifting Yom Kippur. And I will talk to you next week when we've got other holidays to be talking about here on Inside Israel Today on the Land of Israel Network on thelandofisrael.com. Thank you.